Surveys indicate that the sexual morality of today's Christians has become almost indistinguishable from that of non-Christians. It's often impossible to discern where the world ends and the church begins. Hi, this is Alan Ackles, and what I've just shared is startling indeed. But unfortunately, it's true. Today on Renewal, our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz, continues his conversation with his special guest as they talk about the purity principle. Here now is Gene.
Well, thank you very much, Alan, and my special guest is Randy Alcorn. Welcome back to Renewal, Randy.
Thanks, Gene. Pleasure to be with you.
You've written a great book, The Purity Principle, and I'm looking at actually page 23, and you make a statement there. You say, when God calls on you to pursue purity, you're not being asked to do what will deprive you of joy. In fact, you are being called on to do what will bring you the greatest joy. Boy, does that run counter to Hollywood and movies and books on sexual freedom. People would look at that who don't understand the concept of true Christianity, and they say, that's nuts. That's crazy. The greatest joy is in doing what feels good. Explain that.
Well, I think it comes down to the difference between the short term and the long term. There are things, the scripture talks, Hebrews 11 talks about the passing pleasures of sin. There is a pleasure in sin, but it very quickly fades, and then it's the law of diminishing returns, and you get less and less pleasure out of the sinful thing. And so deviancy gets worse and worse as people try to find a joy in something that they just can't find a joy in. On the other hand, in purity, in doing what God has called you to do, you protect yourself from many of life's hazards, dangerous things. An analogy I use in the purity principle is, you know, if you're driving in the mountains, you're going over a dangerous mountain pass, and it's a narrow road, and it's late at night, and it's foggy, and all of a sudden your car hits the guardrail, and you pull over to the side, and you get out with a flashlight, and you look at the fender of your car, and you go, that guardrail, it dented my fender. I mean, I'm so upset. And you end up cursing the guardrail. Is that what you do? No. You realize that guardrail just saved your life. And you thank God for the guardrail. And that's what we need to do instead of this kind of subtle or not so subtle resentment we have for God's standards, for God's guardrails, is to realize that He's given us these standards, partly at least, to protect us. It really is not in our best interest to go careening off the side of the mountain and crash down below. And, you know, if we could see it in daylight and take a good look, we could see that, you know, the landscape is littered with these demolished automobiles that have gone off the cliff. And, you know, I think of the people that I know, including people who've been in ministry, and of course that you know as well, Gene, and you look and you say, but by the grace of God, there go I, and I had better make some steps in my life to protect me and to protect my family from the disaster that has overtaken so many people.
Well, that's a great metaphor. In fact, your subtitle for your book entitled The Purity Principle is God's Safeguards for Life's Dangerous Trails. And let's start at least today talking about some of the safeguards. How do we safeguard ourselves? What are the guardrails, and how do we keep from going over the mountain, down into the valley, and into situations that are going to be destructive?
Part of what we have to do is to recognize our vulnerability, to recognize that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, a proud spirit before a fall, and to recognize that we need to take steps, because you're not going to take the steps unless you really believe that you need to. And I think there are wise strategies for single people, for instance, to take. And part of that is not asking the question, how far can we go, as if our goal is to get as close to sin as we possibly can. Because, you know, you go down, and if children play by the freeway, it won't be long before somebody throws a ball, and next thing you know, they're running out on the freeway. So the solution is not to get as close to the freeway as you can without being hit, it's to stay away from that freeway because it poses such a threat. And among the many things I talk about, for instance, for single people, go out in groups, not alone. Focus on talk and not touch, on conversation, not contact. Avoid the setups. Don't be together alone, on a couch, in a car late at night, in a house, a bedroom. Don't be alone in a house. Don't go into a bedroom together. Certainly don't close the door to that bedroom. And be accountable. Have somebody that you can be honest with and challenge, and do what Job says, make a covenant with your eyes and share that covenant with another. And one of the things I say in the book is, just imagine that your church leaders are watching you through the window. And for people who are church leaders, your fellow church leaders are watching you through the window in terms of what you're doing and what you're watching. And then realize that, of course, somebody far more holy than your church leaders is watching you. His name is God and Jesus Christ who indwells you. And certainly for married people, there are many things, but cultivating and guarding the marriage, rekindling attraction to your mate, being honest with your mate, doing the kinds of things to raise pure children in your family, all of these are safeguards, and they can make a huge difference.
Well, Randy, there's another issue, and I'd like to talk about it tomorrow, and that is that we have redefined sex. And unfortunately, it has been illustrated within the highest office of the land, the previous president, and practiced even among young people, teenagers, down into junior high years, now are saying, this is not sex, I'm still saving myself for marriage. I'd like to get your perspective on that. I know what it is, and if anybody reads your book, The Purity Principle, they will understand that. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. My special guest here on Renewal, Randy Alcorn, will be back again with me tomorrow. We'll continue to talk about The Purity Principle. I'm Gene Getz. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Gene, and thanks so much to your special guest. This is Renewal, and if you know someone who is looking for answers in the area of sexual purity, give them a call. And invite them to join us here on Renewal as we continue to explore what the Bible says about purity. In just a couple of minutes, we'll share with you how you can get a copy of this powerful little book entitled The Purity Principle. Well, Gene, before we do that, would you expand some more on why sexual purity is such an integral part of a rewarding life, and why premarital and extramarital sex is so toxic to joy and ultimate happiness?
Well, Alan, I think we all need to realize that inappropriate sexual relationships are actually working against the way God created us. It may not feel that way, but it's true. We're violating the will of God. Let me take you back to the original creation, which I believe is an accurate recording of what God actually did when He created the world and then He created Adam and Eve. He created Adam first, of course, from the dust of the ground, and he said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." So, we read on that the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and he closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And I love this because basically, what happened was that Adam just exclaimed, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." In fact, some say that the Hebrew really could be translated, if you wanted to summarize it, he just simply said, "Wow, this is unbelievable. This is incredible. This is someone who looks like me. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." He could look into Eve's eyes, he could see a smile on her face, they could communicate with each other, and of course God created them as adults so they could talk and they could share and they could communicate soul to soul. But here's the principle that grows out of that. Right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, we read, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, it's interesting that later on Jesus repeated this very statement and quoted it to those who are asking him about relationships and divorce particularly, and that's when he said, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And then he went on to say, "And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Now again, later, the Apostle Paul picked up with the very same verse, quoting right from Moses and then quoting once again Jesus. Let's think about that for a moment. It says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." It doesn't say, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his girlfriend." It doesn't say, "Be joined to a prostitute," or not even to a significant other. It says, "Be joined to his wife." Now, you see, God has established a principle here, one we have tremendously begun to ignore in our culture today. Because sexual relationships are now becoming almost normative among those who are not married prior to marriage, or if indeed a substitute for marriage, a relationship that has no permanent commitment. You see, we're ignoring that in our culture. And any time we ignore the will of God, we're going to face serious consequences. We're going to see that more and more in our own culture as we see the moral values of our young people being eroded by some terribly bad examples in our culture today. Well, I'm Gene Getz, your host during Renewal. My special guest all this week is Randy Alcorn. He'll be back with me tomorrow. We'll continue our conversation on the Purity Principle. That's the title of a book that he's written. It's a wonderful little book, and I would love to have you have a copy of this book. You can contact us here at Renewal. Our address is Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. That's Box 2400, Dallas, 75221. And when you write us, simply ask how you can get a copy of The Purity Principle. It's available for a suggested donation of $10. Well worth the investment. You can also call us at 1-800-RENEWAL. That's our toll-free number, 1-800-RENEWAL. And for more information, contact us on our website, renewalradio.org, renewalradio.org. We'd love to hear from you today. And when you write us or call us, would you consider sending along a special donation to help us continue to keep this message of renewal on your particular radio station? Now, here once again is our contact information.
Thank you, Gene. Once again, our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll-free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can find us on the web at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. And our mailing address is Renewal, Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Once again, that's Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. We hope to hear from you today, and trust that you'll join us once again tomorrow, right here on Renewal.